Welcome back to Cartoon Cast, a fortnightly podcast hosted by two adults who aren't ashamed to proclaim their love for cartoons. I'm Christina Warren.
And I'm Micah Sargent. And this week we're talking about the oddly awesome Regular Show.
I love this show.
It is one of the strangest shows that I actually enjoy. I mean, there are some shows that go a little bit down the rabbit hole where I'm like, it's not something I'm interested in. But this like balances itself right perfectly on the cusp of just strange enough.
Yes, it is just strange enough. It's an Adult Swim show, as many of the shows that we discuss on this podcast are. Not Adult Swim. It's a Cartoon Network show, as most of the cartoons that we've discussed so far are. It's funny that I almost said Adult Swim, because in a lot of ways, even though it doesn't have the adult humor, it feels like an Adult Swim show.
I actually had my parents, last time I was home, I was for some reason talking about Regular Show, and they were both like, That needs to be on Adult Swim. I don't like, and you said my little brother, I don't like your little brother watching that show. That should be on Adult Swim. So yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people get that impression. It's just, it's odd. I don't know that it's so, there's no like raunchiness to it per se, but there's some.
There's no raunchiness at all, but it's just, it's sort of, you know, all the characters seem to be like in their 20s. It's not a kid's show. It's
exactly.
Just like it's not experiences most of the time, even with the other kind of great era of what we're happening right now with Cartoon Network cartoon shows, you know, Adventure Time, Gumball, Steven Universe, Clarence. You know, they're kid characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of are pulled into that world. This and like We Bare Bears are not. They're like the adult world, but yet they don't have the raunchiness and kind of the like edginess. I wouldn't say raunchiness, because most Adult Swim cartoons aren't raunchy. There's an edge to them. It doesn't have that edginess mm-hmm. that an Adult Swim show has, which I guess is why it's not on that. But it's just, you know, it's just about these animals that are these groundskeepers at this, at a local park. And, they're kind of weird supernatural adventures, mundane stuff happening. It, in a lot of ways, you know what's funny to me now that we're talking about this, even though I would say that this does seem like it could be an Adult Swim show, a lot of it reminds me in a weird way of Rocko's Modern Life.
Wow, that is a good comparison. It's like a modern Rocko's
like
modern life.
Exactly.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Exactly, because that was a show, and that's something that's one we should definitely discuss someday, because I loved that show.
For sure.
It had weird humor. It has the weird humor like that. It has the weird animals and kind of characters like that. But at the same time, it is people who are like adults who are living in this, you know, world
mm-hmm.
and kind of going about their business.
Yeah, it's we just kind of get dropped in and follow them along for the ride. And there's almost no opportunity or, I don't know, encouragement to ask questions. It's just like, this is what it is. And
exactly.
You just are here. And we both picked out two episodes that we quite like.
Yes.
You chose Grilled Cheese Deluxe and I chose Sleep Fighter. they're both delightful episodes. And
they're both on Hulu. So anybody who wants to watch the show, if you're a Hulu subscriber, they're all on Hulu. Like I think like the entire series, or at least everything that's not airing currently. So they're like a, you know, couple hundred episodes or however many episodes there are available on Hulu.
Yeah. So take a pause and go watch season 1, episode 7 and season 4, episode 35 before Christina and I break them down and discuss them, because they,
yes.
What I like about Grilled Cheese Deluxe, which we will break down here in a second, is the title would have you believe one thing, and then
yes.
It just kind of cuts into a whole nother story. And I don't
yes.
know, I've always loved the cartoons where, Family Guy is an example of this, where, you know, the episode starts off where there's just
the Simpsons invented this.
Okay, so it starts with the Simpsons. It's just like, we're doing one thing, but that leads us down a rabbit hole that...
completely different hole, exactly.
And that's where the story goes.
Yeah.
It's hardly any connection.
I agree. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but no, but I so 100% agree with you. I love it when it starts out with one thing and then just completely goes down a weird rabbit hole against something else. And then in this case, and this isn't always the case on The Simpsons or Family Guy, but for certainly was for this show, after, you know, this episode, it ended, you know, with a rejoinder kind of attached to the first thing.
Yes.
Which was great.
And it was a delightful, like, anti-moral of the story or something.
Yes.
So why don't we first, as we have been doing, tell me why you kind of like this episode, and then we'll break it down. Sound good?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I like this show a lot. And this is just, I think this was one of the first episodes of it I ever saw. And it's from the first season. And it was just so kind of ridiculous in its whole nature. And I'm like, okay, what's up with these animals? And what are they doing? Why are they eating grilled cheese sandwiches? And but there were just so many elements of it that just seemed to make sense. One thing I will note about the show is that it apparently takes place at a state park in Tucker, Georgia. Now, Tucker is not too far from where I grew up in Atlanta. It's in suburban Atlanta. And this also makes sense because Cartoon Network, Adult Swim are both based in Atlanta, Turner. There are aspects of this show that are very Georgia-like in some of the things. And one of the aspects was definitely the line for this food place that we'll discuss later on. But I just wanted to mention that because I think like this was one of those things. The most Georgia show on Cartoon Network or Adult Swim is obviously Squidbillies. That is because it takes place like in the North Georgia mountains, and it's the redneck stuff. There are hidden jokes all the time to like local Georgia politics. Like at one point, the character Early wears a hat that says Sonny Lied, and Sonny was the former governor of the state of Georgia who ran on a campaign to bring back the Confederate flag. And then once he got elected, kind of dropped that because he realized, actually, I can't do this. It's illegal. But he like won on his racism. He got reelected a second.
Oh, no.
No, this is the last 10 years, guys. This is like not a long time ago. Way to go, America. But anyway, way to go, Georgia, indeed. But like, this is like the most like, so Squidbillies is the most Georgia show, but regular show definitely has its moments.
Can I just say before you go on, while we're talking about Georgia and we're talking about this area of the country, I am 100% on board. Y'all for all, people. Hashtag y'all for all 2016.
Go to the website yallforall.com, which
yes! You can
Twitter, which I loved, and created a Twitter account. If you listen to my other show, Rocket, that came out of an ad read. So, all right, you're in the favor of y'all for all. I'm y'all for none. But you know what? It's fine. I've accepted defeat on this. So y'all
good. We'll link you up to that episode of Rocket, listeners, so that you can understand what in the world I'm talking about.
Yes. honestly, I love that something we did like in an ad read was a meme. I think that's kind of awesome. But going back to the show, yeah, I mean, I liked the show. I liked this episode. I liked the fact that just kind of the ridiculous, fantastical nature of how spinning. I like the idea that like that Mordecai and Rigby are getting into a contest. Basically, the conceit is that they kind of get into a lying contest with one another, who can lie the best and the most. Which, again, I guess kind of to your mom's point, I would understand maybe why your little brother to watch it, because it kind of teaches you the wrong message,
right?
Which is there are no consequences of lying. Or at least not dire ones anyway, almost dire ones. So I just like the episode. I just think it's a lot of fun. And I love grilled cheese sandwiches.
Okay. Grilled cheese sandwiches are amazing. Question for you, with or without tomato soup?
Without.
Oh no, my heart.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm not a big tomato soup person. Here's my issue with tomatoes, and I'm weird about this.
Okay.
I don't mind them in sauces if they're like smushed, you know, like the tomato sauce, you know, a marinara sauce, whatever. I like them in ketchup, but I don't like the texture of tomatoes. So it's a weird thing for me where I don't like it like in sandwiches. And then the soup, I just feel like there's just not enough there. I don't know. I'm really particular about my vegetables and my textures. So no tomato soup. But I do know that a lot of people love it that way. And I do have to say, I am often jealous when I see a great Instagram photo of a grilled cheese sandwich and a tomato bisque. And I'm like, that actually looks really delicious.
Yeah, I will not eat tomato soup by itself. But if there's a grilled cheese sandwich, there better be a cup of tomato soup around me.
Dip it.
Yeah, exactly. So good. They're just like the crispy of the grilled cheese, and then the warmth of the tomato soup, and that tomato mixed with the cheese. I'm gonna have to make that after we get off this show. But I suppose we'll get back onto the show. So yeah, the Rigby is this little raccoon. He's a raccoon, right?
It's yeah,
some type of small rodent. And Mordecai is a blue jay. Mm-hmm. And Rigby comes in and he's got what he calls a grilled cheese deluxe, which in my notes I started to refer to as the GCD.
The GCD, and it's from a place called Cheezers.
Yes, Cheezers. And so, you know, he comes in and he's like, yo, Mordecai, do you want half of my grilled cheese deluxe?
Mordecai! Mordecai! Oh, there you are. You want half of this grilled cheese? Whoa, is that a grilled cheese deluxe from Cheezers?
Yes, it is.
I was already like, what the heck are you doing? You don't offer up your grilled cheese deluxe. But he did.
Well, now we understand why later on.
Exactly.
We understand why he was able to. And he was like, where is it from? And he was like, Cheezers. He's like, how'd you get it? With money.
No further questions? Money. Like, what?
Which I just kind of love that he's just like so proud of. Yeah, I bought it with money. It's like, cool. He's like, let's watch some web videos. And so they start to watch viral videos. And at this point, Rigby really wants to watch some sort of, what was it, an ostrich?
Dude, check this out.
No, wait, I know a really good one.
No, man, you're just going to pull up that ostrich thing with the balls again.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's like an ostrich that's, it hits a baseball bat into an old man.
It's crotch. It's one of those crotch videos. And he thinks it's hilarious. Mordecai is not amused. And he's like, don't show it to me. Don't show it to me.
It seems to be a recurring gag. The ostrich videos keep showing up and it's always somebody else kind of getting hit in the crotch or getting hurt from the ostrich. So it's some weird thing that they have going on in regular show. But, you know, Mordecai is not interested in seeing this video for the 100th time. And Rigby's like, no, I'm not going to show you that video, as he starts to type it in anyway. Oh, Lordy.
No. And so there, he finally realizes, okay, I'm watching this again. He gets annoyed and they are interrupted by Benson, who runs the park. And Benson's like, why do you have my grilled cheese deluxe? What's up?
It's important to note, too, that Benson is a gumball machine.
Yes,
so
he
we've
is.
Got we've got animal characters, and then we've got this gumball machine that talks, and also is a very colorful creature, because as he gets angry, he turns bright red.
Yes.
And he's typically not bright red, but
no, he's not, because what happens is like his face is partially filled with the gumballs and then partially like, you know, see-through or silver. It's kind of a weird thing. And so as he gets angrier, like I guess maybe it's the gumballs that are changing color. I don't even know. I'm not sure how that works, to be totally honest. Regardless, he's pissed off that they took his grilled cheese sandwich. And you'd find out that, you know, Rigby's been lying. He didn't buy it with money. And this is why he was so free to, like, give it to Mordecai. He's like, well, it's not my sandwich. I'll just give it away.
I have a feeling he was also trying to pass blame. So, like, he doesn't get to be the only one eating the sandwich.
Completely. And he's like, this is my sandwich.
This is our sandwich.
This is your sandwich, huh? Then how come it says Benson on the bag?
Huh? It's supposed to say Rigby, but they misspelled my name wrong.
He's like, go back and get me another sandwich. They're like, and at this point, Mordecai's mad, because Mordecai's like, this was our day off. Now I'm going to have to go get in line and get this freaking grilled cheese deluxe. And Rigby's like, no, the line won't be long. It won't be bad. Whatever. We'll be super fast. Cut to a shot of Cheezers where there's literally a line out the door around the corner. And as I put in my notes, this is like what the Chick-fil-A in New York City looks like, or what Shake Shack in New York City looks like, or what Chick-fil-A in the South looks like during lunch hour. I guarantee you this, if you're in the state of Georgia and you're during your lunch hour, the line for Chick-fil-A at the drive-thru literally sometimes will like wrap all the way around a shopping center and then back again. And here's the messed up thing, because say what you will about that company and like the people who own it, who are not my favorite people, they hire fantastic people to work there, to work like the service staff.
Uh-huh.
Is like far and away the best in fast food.
I'm about to admit something that's going to make everyone really sad, but
that is that
Chick-fil-A recently opened in Columbia, where I live in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And may or may not have been there a few times, because
it's fantastic. I will say this, look, like I feel bad every time I eat there, and I still eat there because the food, like I don't feel like I should be punished because of their policy.
There you go. And my boyfriend and I are the ones who are in line, so like who cares? Exactly. About them.
The number of like my gay friends who have actually worked at Chick-fil-A, like I've worked there like as store managers before. So, I mean, I'll at least give them credit for that. They
and
don't
the
care.
People are so delightful, really.
They're so delightful. That's what I'm saying. They like actually have weird policies about who they'll hire and who they won't. Like they have like really high standards, not policies in terms of anything like race or sexual orientation,
right,
or anything like that. But like it's the one fast food restaurant where literally everyone will be so nice to you. And the service is so fast. And the chicken sandwiches and the chicken nuggets are delicious. So you feel bad about yourself, and then you donate more money to like groups that need it.
Yeah,
and,
like GLAD or something.
Exactly. I that the summer that all that stuff happened, I was like, I went home to Atlanta, and I was like, all right, here's another $50 for GLAD because I'm going to Chick-fil-A. But anyway, back to the show. So they go to Cheezers, and they see this line. They're like, this is going to take all day. And as they're standing in line, they see these two guys in blue suits walk past them and just go straight into the store. They're like, what's up with the suits? Why are they able to cut the line? And this woman's like,
those fine men are astronauts. They can cut in line. They fought for our country.
First of all, my note in that is I'm like, okay, look, I'm not like saying that astronauts aren't great and stuff, but first of all, like at this point, we've defunded the space program or whatever. So how much do we really care? And B, like, they didn't fight for our country.
Right.
Like, they're scientists, guy. Like, they're like, they're, these are, they're, they didn't go to war. Like,
war against the space aliens.
Maybe in the weird reverse universe, that like alternate universe or whatever the hell universe of regular show, maybe that's, maybe that really did happen. Maybe that's why all these creatures can talk. Maybe there was some sort of intergalactic war and it turns out that the astronauts are the real heroes. I don't know. But in that case, I just thought that was worth noting because I thought it was really funny.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Whenever she got all up in arms and it was astronauts instead of like police officers or something, right, which are the go-to for, you know, they have like a police officer button at McDonald's or whatever. It's astronauts. So right to the front of the line. And that is whenever they realize that they, being Mordecai and Rigby, the only way they're going to get this grilled cheese sandwich for Benson is if they cut in line.
Yeah.
And they realize that the only way to cut in line is if they lie and say they're astronauts. So basically Rigby's like, yo, Mordecai, you want to have a lie off because I'm a way better liar than you. And they kind of go back and forth, and decide that, yeah, they're going to see who can be the better liar.
The better liar. So, you know, Rigby goes right up to the counter. He's like, all right, Tits, I want a grilled cheese deluxe right now because I'm an astronaut. And she's like, oh, yes, sir, right away. And then, you know, Mordecai comes up and joins me. He's like, yeah, I got to give this to my captain. And he was like, oh, your captain that's sitting over there. And she kind of like gestures. And it turns out that Rigby has decided to up the game one step. So it isn't enough that they lied to get the sandwich because that would have been easy. You know, they could go back home to Benson, give it to him, and then have the rest of their day off. No. Rigby has to basically like poke at the beast and go up and start chatting up these astronauts and tell them that they too are astronauts. And because it's a cartoon, the astronauts immediately believe them.
Well, welcome. We'll be glad to show you around. Now, I hope you're up to spending $2.5 million in taxpayers' money, because we're driving.
And I love the scene, because they literally just get in this like flying car that literally just goes across the street.
Yes, I love that scene, too. It's like some kind of Moonlander contraption. And
yes.
Just like, takes off and then goes across the street, sits down. Yeah. It's like, there goes $2.5 million of taxpayer money.
And knowing how like government spending works, especially on like military stuff, like that sounds completely and totally accurate.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it also seems to me, like strikes me, it's like, yeah, that's totally something that like, you know, people like in the military or the space program or whatever, like if they had the opportunity to take advantage of that, they totally would.
I mean, that's why it's always military money that ends up backing like the bad thing in different shows. For example, I was just watching a show the other day that wasn't a cartoon called Helix, if I'm not mistaken. And there was like this gas that when it touches anything, it immediately just destroys the cells at a cellular level. And who was there to buy all of the barrels of this gas but the military? I mean, that it's like the shining example of money being wasted or maybe excess money being spent. So I love this little like dig from the writers. It's like, yes, let's go spend $2.5 million just to go across the street because that is kind of how the government works.
Yeah. So they go across the street and they, you know, immediately are met with their first battle, which is getting inside of the facility, and they don't have their passcodes. And so Mordecai starts to kind of come up with some sort of lie. But Rigby, who's the smoother liar by far, is like, dude, you know, we left ours or whatnot. And astronauts are like, yeah, cool, man. Just use our cards. And
I was actually like, super impressed with their lying in that moment. I almost couldn't keep up. It was just like, you know, Rigby did start it, but then Mordecai kind of fell right into it.
Oh, I forgot my ID and my other pants. Can you help me out, guys?
Oh, what? That was my ID. I told you not to lose it.
Guys, calm down. You can use our IDs.
So they get in and then they start to talk about, you know, people they know. And one of them mentions, you know, oh, I know, you know, Dr. Astral. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, but something weird.
Something weird. She sees a name on the thing. Oh, you know, Doctor Whoever is like, yeah, she's right here. And you see her, and she kind of looks deranged and kind of messed up. She's got like a weird scar on her face. And it's like, yeah, we totally met. He's like, I don't remember you. It's like, yeah, we met at that conference. And it's this weird look on her face. She's like, I don't remember a lot about that conference. I kind of wonder what goes down at these astronaut conferences and can we get in on it? Right?
Yeah. I'm going to need like to take some astronaut shots because that's
totally,
what it sounds
because
like
that looks like a big time.
Yeah.
So you know, the astronauts continue to kind of give them a tour of the facility and they show them this antimatter machine. And the scientist who's looking at it and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I don't know a lot about this stuff, you know, but this guy knows all about it. And he's kind of slapping the guy who's trying to work on the machine, who's clearly having some problems and making him touch some buttons the wrong way. And at this point, Rigby decides that he should tell everyone that Mordecai is an expert in antimatter. And Mordecai's like, well, I'm not as much of an expert as you are. And at this point, they're both trying to kind of talk one another up who's more of an expert than the other. And that works well for a while until the machine breaks down.
Actually, sir, I'm having trouble with...
Trouble? Well, these guys are experts. Can you lend a hand, fellas?
Sure we can. Go ahead, Captain.
It's like on Seinfeld where George Costanza always claims that he's a marine biologist and he's lying about his career one day and he's on the beach and a whale pops up and it seems like it has something stuck in its blowhole. It's like, we need somebody. Is there a marine biologist in the room? and so he has to deal with it. And they show it. They don't show it on camera, but turns out that George thought quickly ahead of himself and was able to pop that golf ball straight out of the whale's blowhole and save it. So it's kind of like that where they're like, you know, they're in the scenario where they've told this fantastical lie and now they've got to actually back it up and say, you've got to get inside that machine and fix it.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably, I don't know, it cracks me up because they take it even one step further. This would be the point where if I was playing the lying game, I'd be done. I don't know. I would be like, okay, yeah, you got me. But they're like, no. Let's take it to all the way.
Well, I mean, because at this point, I kind of understand where they're coming from because you've been lying for so long and I would kind of be scared to be like, well, what happens if I tell them I've been lying? And now it seems like the town might be in danger. And I mean, maybe I can just fake my way through it enough. And so first they start out by trying to like get the scientist to, you know, press different buttons on the keys and that makes things worse. And then it's like, now I've got to go inside this chamber and try to fix this thing. And we get in there and quickly, you know, Mordecai's the first one who kind of realizes I'm in over my head. And he's like, I've got this disorder where when I'm under stress, I don't remember anything.
Ah, that was so good because it was kind of being led up that he was going to tell the truth, that he was not going to be lying anymore. And so, you know, the music kind of swells or whatever, and then he quickly says, no, I'm still as smart as I was, as I said I was, but there's just this thing that's wrong with me. And by the way, Rigby is actually an idiot.
Yeah. And they don't seem to question it. They don't seem to question it. Why is an idiot an astronaut? They're just like, okay, whatever. And they're like, so what you're going to have to do is actually tell me what to do. And so they're like, okay, well, you know, you need to throw a piece of matter at this device. You know, you need to throw something, you know, solid at this.
Basically, so you need to throw matter at the antimatter in order to stabilize it.
Exactly. And so he's like, okay, so you're going to have to throw, so he says, Mordecai, you're going to have to throw Rigby in here and save the town. Like, you're going to have to sacrifice him to save everybody else. You do it for your country, bro. And you know, here's the thing. Like, if you really were an astronaut, like, that would kind of be like, you know, because it's kind of like the military. Like, you'd be like, yeah, you know, or I think it is the military or was the military. I don't even know. Like, you know, you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good. And Rigby's like, dude, no, do not even throw me. Like, what are you talking about? Fortunately, earlier on when they got their jackets, Rigby had put the Cheezer's grilled cheese deluxe inside his jacket and kept it for safekeeping. So Mordecai grabs him. You think that he's going to throw him into the antimatter machine, but he doesn't.
Huh?
You thought I was going to throw you in? I told you I'm a better liar than you.
Benson's grilled cheese!
You better hope this works.
This whole time, like, honestly, Rigby's been the better liar. But Mordecai totally turns it on me. It's like, no, dude, I'm, like, better than you.
So, honestly, what I thought was going to happen here was it was going to be this whole ruse that Mordecai had made up to get Rigby to finally tell the truth. And so this was going to be the moment where everything kind of got shut off and everything was fine. And so I was hoping that, you know, okay, this antimatter machine wasn't real. These are not real scientists. No, they're real scientists.
No, they're real scientists. And even once they fix it, that does actually fix the machine. They get out and they're like, oh, and by the way, guys, and they're like, oh, you saved it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're not astronauts.
And so then the astronauts are like, you jerks.
Then the astronauts are like, screw you guys. And they jump them off and they're like, don't ever lie about being an astronaut again, or we'll, you know, we'll be after you.
Which is so, so bizarre in and of itself. I don't know. If I was a real astronaut, there'd be, I don't know, you could have been looking at some military secret that you weren't supposed to be seeing. So I guess they were lucky.
They were lucky that also that they just didn't think of calling the cops or doing anything else or doing a court martial or whatever the procedure might be. I don't even know. Like, they could have been in serious trouble, but instead they're just like, don't lie again or we'll beat you up. And so now they're headed back home and they just look completely beat up because they've been in this antimatter machine. They've gone through a whole day. Benson's there watching funny videos on the internet, which I thought was a great kind of throwback. And he's like, where have you been? I've been waiting for hours.
There were spacemen at Cheezers and the tube. We went down it. Everyone wore sweatpants, even us. And then the room with the bad stuff. But we saved the city with your sandwich.
And he's like, why are you lying to me? So Mordecai's just like, we ran over by mistake. And it's just like, it's like, yep. Why didn't you just say that? That'd be so much easier. And that's the end of the episode. The moral of the story is just a lie.
Yes, it doesn't. Oh, dear. This is, yeah, I think you're right, Christina. This is why my mom doesn't want my siblings watching this.
This is why your mom is like, don't know about this. This is weird. Yeah, no, it's like, yeah, no, just lie.
When all else fails, you just tell a lie. Because, well, and truth be told, Benson, because it's honestly like Boy Who Cried Wolf. Mordecai and Rigby have done so much lying and so much, been so dishonest to Benson that, of course, he's not going to believe a fantastical story. You know, if Pops or Skips had come and said the same thing, then Benson's more likely to believe one of those characters. But, you know, what's more likely? Well, that they would be screw-ups and that they'd run over his sandwich on accident. I was also hoping at this point that, you know, we'd hear, okay, well, there's all of this stuff happened, and then Benson, like, didn't believe them, but he took a bite of the sandwich, and the grilled cheese deluxe tasted better than it ever had tasted before because it had been through the antimatter.
Right.
So I was a little disappointed that that payoff didn't happen, because one of the things that we didn't mention earlier is, you know, it wasn't just that they were inside and they fixed it and then they got out. Actually, when they threw the grilled cheese sandwich at the antimatter nucleus or whatever it was they were calling it, the pseudoscience, they both got sucked into the antimatter and split up and turned into a circle. It basically, they got messed up by it and then they somehow got out and everything was fine. So I thought, that would have been a fun time to throw something in there where it was like Mordecai and Rigby maybe got mixed up. Or, like I said, the sandwich was so much better because it had been antimattered. But that's one of the things with 11-minute episodes is you don't really have time to build something like that out.
No, you don't. And that's another thing I kind of like about the show is the episodes are only 11 minutes long. Like, you can just get a little quick story and get out. You know, it doesn't have to have – we can dissect this and take it apart. But you don't have to do that for the show.
Exactly. And I like – because Clarence works the same way, where you've basically, it's the I call them slash shows, because there are always two episodes pocketed into the 30-minute section, so you get to see two episodes. And I don't know, I like that because typically with these, it's no kind of storyline, and I love my storyline shows. I love the shows where we see things carried from one episode to the next, and it tells a story. But I also like these ones where we just kind of get, you know, we get to know the characters as themselves, and then try to understand maybe how they would react in these situations, but the situation is always different. So you can, you know, you can buy season 5 or buy season 2, and you're not going to be lost in terms of, like, there's nothing that you needed to have learned because there's really, like, there's nothing to learn. You're just in this world and it's doing what it's doing and you just accept it and all's well. and I like that about this show because this is one where, you know, maybe you have I don't know, a subway ride or a taxi ride or what have you, as long as you're not driving, then you can watch these in those short little bursts of time if you're just looking for something to kind of occupy your attention. And they're good to just have in the background because they're so very, you know, that they vary so much that it's a good show to just kind of have playing in the background. You can kind of tune in and check them out every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the great thing about shows like this. Like you said, there's not really a lot of continuity. It just jump in and jump out whenever you want.
Yeah. And I think then it's time to jump into season 4, episode 35. This episode is called Sleep Fighter. The reason I picked this one is because I have probably seen this one now about 4 times. For some reason, it just is always on when I'm flipping through Cartoon Network and I see regular show. So I don't know why that is, but this show or this episode in particular continues to pop up regularly. And I enjoy it every time. It's a fun one, and I don't know, it's one of those that's just so bizarre, and it also
so weird.
Yeah, it's so strange, and it shows a little bit more about this mysterious character that is Skips. So Skips is like, he's like a gorilla, but for some reason, when he walks, he skips around everywhere. So that's why they call him Skips. And we come to find out in one episode that isn't this one, that he is like an ancient, ancient being who's lived for years and years and is kind of a guardian of the Earth. But for some reason, he's working at a little park in the middle of Georgia. So anyway, it's fun.
As most guardians of the universe do, frankly.
Right. I guess you would know that they all work there. No, it's a fun episode. So it starts out with Mordecai and Rigby asleep is how the episode kind of begins. And they're sleep talking. I can't even remember what they're saying, but I know Mordecai's talking about the love of his life, and Rigby's talking about whatever.
Margaret. More coffee, please.
I'm the pizza king.
I get the impression that Mordecai's a little bit older than Rigby.
I think they're technically both the same age, but Mordecai definitely seems more mature.
There you go. Yeah, he's got the more mature personality. And suddenly the door rattles and Muscle Man, which it's hard to understand because there are a bunch of these. So most of these creatures are, you can relate them to something in the real world, but Muscle Man is just like this green humanoid species with like long mullet hair and like a t-shirt. I don't know. You'll just have to watch the episode to understand. Like Muscle Man is human but with green skin, basically.
Yes.
And he comes in.
He kind of looks like Frankenstein a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Without the stitches.
Yeah.
And he comes in and his eyes are closed and he starts fighting. He starts fighting Mordecai and Rigby's punching him and, you know, they're freaking out and trying to get him to stop. And for some reason he doesn't. And it cuts to the next morning and Pops, what is Pops? I forget now. Oh, he's like a moon with legs.
He's like a moon with legs. It's weird. It's like Benson, you know, is like the gumball machine. Pops is like a weird, you know, circle shape too.
Yeah. And so we've got Pops and Skips. And we've got Mordecai and Rigby, and then we've got High Five Ghost, which is literally like a little, it looks like a Pac-Man ghost, except it's got a giant hand on it, like sticking out of its head so that you can high five it. And then a character named Thomas, who is a gazelle. And they're all beat up. They've all got like the scratches all over their face and everything. So everyone but Benson has been beat up by Muscle Man overnight.
Yes.
And Benson comes and he's like,
"This has nothing to do with me. Anything that happens in the park after hours is your own problem."
The next night, he gets beat up.
Yes.
Now it is a park problem.
Ugh, he's so selfish.
He is so selfish. I love him, though.
Oh, my gosh, me too. He's one of my favorite characters, actually.
He's just like Squidward.
Yes. Yeah, you have to love him because he's so...
They even look alike. Like they're, if you think about it, like we should hopefully... If one of our listeners doesn't do this, then we need to do this on our own Tumblr, cartooncast.co, where we need to do a side-by-side of Benson and Squidward.
I was actually, as you were saying that, I was thinking about doing like a Photoshop manipulation where it's one character. So I think that has to happen. So stay tuned for that because I'm going to try and make that happen to where we'll have like a side-by-side and then mushed together as one being.
That'd be amazing. Oh, that'd be so good. So now it is a park issue and now they've got to figure out what is going on. Like, why is Muscle Man doing this? And so, of course, this isn't just going to be like a small operation. They're going hardcore. They're going to hard tech. They're like going to put cameras everywhere in his trailer, and they're going to all monitor from a car outside. And it looks very much like, you know, like this police, you know, movie, you know, the TV shows thing, really police surveillance.
I described it as a backwoods sleep study. Because it reminds me of a sleep study in a hospital, but they're doing it with like old cameras connected.
It's a backwoods sleep study that also is kind of like you're spying on drug dealers. Like it's one of those things. Like you know what I mean? Like it's got kind of that cop feely like thing. Like we're behind you and we're listening in. It's kind of like The Wire. A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because they are. They're in a surveillance van nearby.
Yeah, they're just... So it's like The Wire meets like a backwoods sleep study. So they're watching. They've got the cameras everywhere. And he's like, well, what happens, you know, if I break out? They're like, oh, well, we've locked you up in your trailer. You'll be fine.
Wait, I understand the ropes. But what are all these cameras for? You're not going to do anything weird, right?
Relax. We're just going to watch you sleep.
I like actually put that in the movies. No, we're just going to watch you sleep. You're not going to do anything weird, right? No, we're just going to watch you sleep.
Like, nothing weird.
That's nothing weird. That's still pretty awkward. So to get him into the mood or whatever, like to get him to go to sleep, they play this music, and the music is, and he's like, what is this junk? And the music is pretty freaking weird.
Oh yeah. Which he immediately falls asleep to.
But it is. It's some weird stuff. So they're watching him sleep and everything seems to be fine. They're like, oh, I think he's dreaming. And then all of a sudden they watch him dreaming and they've got this from all these different weird camera angles. Muscle Man's like waking up, like not waking up, but he's like getting aggravated in his sleep. He's getting angry.
Mm-hmm. And they had all like fallen asleep and aren't really concerned about him, except for our dear friend Thomas, who's just kind of like this nice guy who
I love Thomas.
He always like wants to be friends with everybody, and they're just kind of like, oh, there's Thomas. Yeah. Anywho, so he's watching and he's like, yo, you guys got to check this out.
Guys, wake up. I think he's dreaming.
And we see Muscle Man struggling around, and suddenly he breaks free of the ropes and he starts knocking down all the cameras in the room. He's throwing cameras at each other and we're like, oh no, he's going to come get him. And he escapes.
And so at this point, Rigby has been put in this suit to be pummeled against just in case he was to break out. They've been prepared. So they put him in like this, you know, like padded suit, and they throw him out there for the wolves. And they're like, look, all right, it's your turn, dude. And he's like, no. He's like, the suit didn't help at all. He just gets the crap beat out of him. You know, like, you know, Muscle Man is just like wailing on him.
Well, and we find out too that according to Skips, Muscle Man's strength is double when he's asleep. So his sleep strength is two times as strong as he is normally. And his name is Muscle Man. So clearly he's a very strong person.
So this is like not great for poor Rigby. Rigby is definitely hurting. So at this point, like, Muscle Man's like, well, the only thing to do this now is that I've got to leave, and I'm just going to go to the motel across town. I'm just going to move, and I'm going to go across town and have the cheap hotel.
What weirds me out about that, and you're about to get into this, but like, I always have thought Muscle Man was this character, A, who I personally couldn't stand, but who everybody else was just like, I don't know, he was hard to deal with. And
he was. But yeah, they're like, immediately, they're like, no.
Yeah, they want him to stick around. They're like, no, man, you don't gotta go. We're gonna get this figured out.
He's like, Thomas, I don't think they'd care. And I love Thomas. I think Thomas is the greatest.
He's so kind.
He's so kind. I don't think they care about Thomas. But like, Muscle Man,
he's
they're
a
like,
member of the crew. He's part of the pack.
He is. He's a bro. You know, that's the difference. Thomas is not a bro.
That's true. It's right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Thomas doesn't get to join the bro club, and, he doesn't carry a bro's gold phone and other bro things into here. I don't know.
Look, I carry a bro's gold phone. It is not bro's gold. It is pink.
Oh dear. Yeah. I hate that. I hate the term bro's gold. I seriously.
Oh, I do too. I refuse to even acknowledge it as existing. It is pink and it is beautiful. And anybody who calls it bro's gold, no.
Yeah.
Stop.
You stop right now.
You stop right now. But no, but Muscle Man is totally a bro. And obviously Mordecai and Rigby are bros. And the rest of them are kind of, you know, they're part of the thing. And High Five Ghost is even kind of bro-ish.
Yeah, he's definitely like, he's just so, I don't know, he's ethereal, ha ha ha. No, he's just kind of outside of it that it doesn't, you know.
And Skips, because he's so old and kind of like the guardian of the galaxy, so to speak, like he can fit in anywhere, you know what I mean? Like Skips is just the best.
He's so wise.
He is so wise.
They all think he's really cool. I think they look up to him as a mentor. So that's why he's got the immediate in.
I think they're like, he's like the cool uncle grandfather guy that you're like, man, that guy's awesome. You know, even though maybe he's not, like, you don't really know his backstory. So maybe like, he's not so awesome. Maybe he's just like a weird guy who like never like found his own life and just had all these things. But I think, no, I don't think so. I actually think that Skips, as we find in this episode, because he just has so much cool stuff, is actually kind of a badass.
Yeah.
So who is it that does the computer work?
High Five Ghost comes downstairs and he's like, you all have to see something. And then we cut to a zoom and enhance moment where they're showing Muscle Man on screen, freaking out. He's, you know, rumbling back and forth in the bed. And we see like this weird, there's a part where static happens and we see this weird shape.
What's that? Off Muscle Man's sweat.
Let me enhance the resolution.
Creepy. Whoa. What is that?
And we see this weird, like, purplish pink creature that I don't even know what to do. It looks like a lollipop or something. It looks like one of those safety pops. and it's got like these big kind of creepy eyes. And it's like adorable, but adorable in the sense that it looks really friggin' creepy.
It looks really, it does. It looks really creepy, but kind of adorable. And so and they're like, what is this? And he's like, oh man, I know exactly what this is. And we cut to this flashback, and I have a lot of thoughts about this flashback, but I want you to talk about it, because then I have some thoughts, but I want you to discuss it first.
Okay, cool. So, basically what happens, is Muscle Man realizes what these things are. They're called Hugstables. And what happened was he was, babysitting, and while he was babysitting, the TV was on and it was on the Hugstables, which in this way, they're kind of like Teletubbies for the listeners who've never seen that.
Yes, they look just like Teletubbies.
Yeah, they're exactly like Teletubbies. But the show is playing and we see the Hugstables like go up to a bad guy and they're hugging him to a point to where he almost bursts like a balloon, but he turns into a bunch of glitter and they're like, yay, he's glitter now. And it's really weird. But then Muscle Man turns the channel away and he's watching some, you know, bum, 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 bum show or whatever. And the baby starts crying. Well, of course, baby wants to watch show the baby wants to watch. And the only way to get baby to stop crying is by switching back to the Hugstables.
You Hugstables, stay away from me.
I know. Let's give him a hug.
So he switches back, and over again, we see these creatures going around and hugging people until they pop into glitter. And, like, as an adult, we get the impression that they're killing these people, and not all of them were bad. It was the first person was like a robber, and he was in like the black and white striped suit. But after that, it was just like what looked like an alien, and then another person, and so they're going around and squeezing all these people into glitter, and we come to find out that Muscle Man has watched 8 seasons of the show, which is 257 episodes of the Hugstables. When they get back, like Muscle Man's, the people who he was babysitting for, when they get back, apparently he was like crying or something like that. He was basically really bothered by having watched all 8 seasons of that show, which I can understand because it was really creepy.
I mean, binge watching isn't always a good thing.
No, no. And you know, even I'm trying to imagine, like, whenever we used to babysit my cousins and they would come over to the house and we would watch Little Einsteins or something. I mean, as soon as I say Little Einsteins, that song pops into my head.
We're going on a trip in our favorite rocket ship, zooming through the sky, Little Einsteins.
And it'll probably play for the rest of the night. So, you know, these things can get stuck in your psyche. And if it's kind of creepy like this, then yeah, of course, I understand why Muscle Man is having trouble sleeping and he's having these nightmares about the Hugstables.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand that. My weird thing about this dream sequence is he talked about how, like, basically they found him, like, rolled up into a ball and whatnot. But I was like, why would his girlfriend, who we see a few times, why would she trust him, of all people, with the baby?
Yeah, she knows who he is.
She knows who he is, and she accepts who she is and loves him for it. But, like, to me, I'm like, he's so not the right person to babysit. I was like a little bit bothered by it. I was like, this is not cool. Like, you're supposed to be babysitting somebody. And now you want to go out and, like, you're like, go win your game, girl. And I'm like, dude, you're going to, like,
kissing was gross.
Either kissing was gross, but, like, you're going to like leave your charge or whoever the baby was. Like, you're going to leave him with Muscle Man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so here's my thing about that.
Kid with me. Just, like, don't do it.
You can leave your kid with me if Christina and I are ever, like, you have a choice between the two of us.
Leave a Micah. Leave a Micah. Do not.
Yeah, I promise the child will be fine. They'll probably walk away knowing the alphabet or something.
It's great. If you leave with me, they will walk away learning, knowing a lot of curse words and be very angry with me.
I get the impression that this species, this muscle man type species is like very rough and tumble. And so you would almost, in my opinion, or in my whole headcanon, you would almost want to leave your child if you were part of this like group. So it's kind of like Klingons in Star Trek. Like, you know, you want to grow this brute of a child and you want to make this strong and kind of gross and off-putting person, and that's what's respected in their race. And so that's kind of how I took it. And I, like, I'm not really thinking about it until now, but the way that they all interacted with each other and the way that, you know, we see them interact, it's all very, that just seems to be like their thing. It's how they interact and what they do. And so okay. I never got the impression.
That makes me feel better. Cause I was just like concerned for this poor child, like being left alone with like a muscle man. I was like, and that's not a common occurrence for me to feel concerned for children. So
it's only because a child is green.
Yes. And I'm like, oh,
it's inhuman enough for you to actually like human children. No. I'm learning so much about you, Christina, as are our listeners.
I might like kid programming. I do not like kids. Sure, your kids are great. They are not for me.
There you go. Your kids are great from a distance. Copyright Christina Warren.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They probably would like my apartment because it is filled with toys.
See, you're too busy being a kid to have to worry about kids.
That's exactly my problem. I didn't like kids when I was a kid, and now I'm just like, nope. Still want to enjoy being a kid. Don't want to deal with any of the other stuff. But anyway, so you know, they're like, okay, well, how are we going to deal with this? And they're like, okay, we got to go into your dreams and drag these suckers out.
It sounds like that show messed you up pretty bad.
That must be what's causing your nightmares.
How do I get them out of my head?
Yeah, and of course, because Skips is this ancient being who later in the episode says he has, because he's so old, he has some pretty gnarly dreams. He has a bunch of dream catchers. And so he has this giant, like what looks like a trampoline dream catcher. And he's like, we're going to tie up Muscle Man. And while he's dreaming, we're going to aim the dream catcher at him at the perfect time. And it'll basically suck out all of the Hugstables from his nightmares.
Oh no, bro.
Do you want a hug?
And then we cut back to actual, like, out in the real world, and we see Skip say, now. And then, of course, the dream catcher gets
the
turned.
The dream catchers, which are amazing. Like, these are, like, the ultimate dream catchers. They're so cool.
So cool. I want one of these dream catchers when I'm having a nightmare. Because it's literally, like, this pink light displays, and it goes into Muscle Man's dream world, and it sucks out all the Hugstables. But there's a problem.
It's too much. There are too many.
8 seasons of Hugstables means a crap ton of Hugstables in your nightmare. So it starts clogging the dream catcher. And the bad thing about that is it's clear that in this mythos, when they're between being sucked into the dream catcher and being pulled out of like the dream world, they can escape into the real world and actually materialize. And so they end up clogging the dream catcher because it's just not big enough to hold all of them. And they start popping out of the stream and they're actually in the real world. And so they're like beating up, all of our characters who are, you know, trying to defeat them. So it starts with them kind of like, you know, they're literally punching these Hugstables and trying to fight them and fin them off. But that's not going to work because they're dream creatures.
Right. But fortunately there are more, gadgets in Skip's bag.
So cool.
And so like there's this thing that looks like a tennis racket that has like a little dream catcher on it. And so they're able to just swipe at these things. And so first they start by just kicking them and punching them. And that works a little bit. And then they find out that they have these other tools. They have arrows that have dream catchers on them. They have like I said, like the thing that looks like a tennis racket. And they're able to just
harpoon
them. And they're just like, all right. Let's get rid of these. Let's get rid of these things.
So they're fighting a whole bunch of them and they're all getting sucked up into these dream catchers. And you're like, holy cow, Skips is awesome. And they think they've got them all, except we hear this giant rumbling sound.
Did we get them all?
Whoa.
And it is a giant Huxtable in a bright pink color as opposed to the like purplish pink color. So you can tell this is like final boss level.
Precisely. And we should note that at this point, the music that they use is very much a sound alike from the movie Halloween. And so the whole kind of thing is kind of like, you know, in the movie Halloween, Michael Myers, like you think that you've got him and then he comes back from the dead and you're like, oh my God, he's back. And it's the same sort of thing where you have that tension because they're using that sound alike music. And you're like, oh my God, he's right there.
Yeah, so this giant creature, and they're like, crap, what do we do? Because I think somebody ends up throwing, they have like one more dream catcher, and it's just this little one, and they try to throw it at the thing, and it's too small, of course, to do any damage. And so Skips is like, I've got one dream catcher left. And it cuts to a scene of him in his like VW bug, and there's this tiny, tiny, tiny little dream catcher hanging on the mirror, and they're all just kind of like not asking questions at first, but then somebody finally like breaks the awkward silence, and it's like, is that gonna work? And he's like, I'm not talking about that dream catcher. I'm talking about a different one. And of course, even though they're about to like die, Benson is complaining because he sees in the yard there's a wooden ramp that Mordecai and Rigby left out in the yard.
I told you guys to put that ramp away.
You're gonna be glad they didn't. Hang on.
They ramp off of the ramp with the VW bug, and underneath the VW bug is a giant, giant dream catcher.
Yep.
So they perfectly ramp to where the dream catcher lands on top of the giant Huxtable and goes down and sucks the entire thing up inside, and the world is saved from the Huxtables. Muscle Man wakes up and everything's fine. And of course, we have to end with our dear, dear Pops, who is just this, he's such an awkward character. He's very kind, but he's like so eccentric and childish.
Yeah.
He
wants a group hug, and they're like, no, dude.
Yeah, he asks for a group hug after these Huxtables clearly show that their evil power is hugging people to destroy them.
Although I did actually kind of wonder this whole time, like, I get why they didn't want to do a group hug, like, because obviously they're over it. But I never understood why, like, either in his dream or even when they were fighting them, like, why not just try to hug the Huxtables back?
I wonder what that would have done.
Right?
Because, yeah.
I mean, like, to me, it's like they're hugging you. It's like, okay, let's hug back.
That would be interesting. Maybe it would have counteracted, and then it would have just been like this.
Because
maybe
that's
all they wanted.
You.
Yeah, they just wanted
a hug. That's okay. They want a hug.
Yeah, now I'm kind of, I don't know. There's got to be an alternate timeline or an alternate reality where they decide to hug the Huxtables back. Maybe you become a Huxtable if you hug them back. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like it would get rid of their power, though. I feel like just hug them back.
That's a good question. Because, whenever they're like squeezing people, though, because so if you hug one, then maybe that's not such a problem. But it looks like whenever they overwhelm you, that's whenever you are like dissolved into glitter. So maybe
that's true. That's true. Maybe like you start hugging one and it's okay, but like it's not like you can hug all of them back. That's a good point.
If a whole bunch of them, hopefully, if you were hugging one, they'll think that you're. It's like in The Walking Dead, whenever you cover yourself in zombie juice and then they think you're a zombie. So if you hug a Huxtable, it thinks you're a Huxtable, and then everything's fine.
Can we talk about the fact that every time we say Huxtable, I'm thinking of the Huxtables?
Yeah,
which is making me think of one of my favorite shows of all time, The Cosby Show, which now I like has been ruined for me. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been feeling about it, because I'm thinking of the Huxtables too, and they were a hugging, caring family on the show.
I love that show.
Me too.
Denise was the best. Actually, it's funny because even before all the terrible allegations and accusations, which I'd known about for quite some time, because if anybody follows this stuff, you knew about it before last year. But I was actually still mad at Bill Cosby because of the way he treated Lisa Bonet. Both times he fired her from The Cosby Show, I was like, you played her dirty. That is not cool. You slut shamed her. You like fired her because she got married and pregnant. And you didn't like her husband.
What?
That was the first time. And then the second time is because she did a movie where she had a sex scene with Mickey Rourke, or she took her top off or something. And it was like tastefully done. And it was like, nope, you are off the show.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
So he was being, was allegedly being a hypocrite then.
Not even alleged. We know he was having affairs. So he was totally being a hypocrite.
I hate that. I really hate that. Because I loved that show growing up. And we actually got to meet, we didn't get to meet Bill Cosby, but as a kid, I got to meet the character who plays Theo and, oh goodness, who was it? It was the mom, and it was
Lisa Rashad.
Yes, so we got to meet a few of the Cosby Show actors when I was a kid, which was really cool. And I didn't get it at the time, because it wasn't until a little bit later that we got introduced to the Cosby Show, and so it was more like those are the people you met. Do you remember? And I was like, I wish you would have told me then, so I would have been paying attention to who they were. It was when I was really young, so I don't really remember it very much. But anywho, yeah, that was kind of cool. But that makes me sad that he did that too, on top of all these other things that he's accused of having
done. So anyway, that's how I think Huxtables, and I'm sure that when it was written, because this is before all this stuff, well, it probably this was written before all of these things, I'm not sure.
Certainly before this last year it was, yeah.
Yes, certainly before Hannibal Buress, and then how he took himself down by that meme generator. Good times. It was a funny kind of play on words on that.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because I think the idea is that, like, again, I think it goes back to who Musselman is as a character. And so, you know, in his culture, in his race, I still see, like, Hugs are kind of, for some reason, the love that he has for his girlfriend, like, transcends the grossness, and he can still, yes, like, kiss her and, you know, be lovey-dovey with her. But I think in general, I don't know if you've ever seen, you've said you've seen a few episodes of Fairly Odd Parents. Yes. And there's an alien race on that show where basically everything that they love is the opposite. So, like, chocolate is the worst thing to them, and it'll actually poison them and kill them. whereas, like, feces is a delicacy. And
ew.
Yeah, so they like everything that's gross, and I get the same impression with them. So maybe it is because Hugs would, of course, be like a bad thing in Musselman's society. And so the Hugstables that he's dealing with, and that then our you know, band of brothers are dealing with, is, you know, from his nightmare. So they are ill-willed. But if, you know, if they had in theory, like, had busted out of, like, the little kid's dream or something like that, then maybe they would be nice and, you know, everyone would be fine. It's simply because they're negative, because Musselman sees them as negative, and they came out of a Musselman nightmare, that they're these dangerous creatures. But had they come out of somebody else's dream who isn't bothered by a Hug, then they'd be cool things to have around or whatever. But that's just my, again, headcanon on this episode.
No, I kind of dig that. I kind of dig that for sure. Cool. Well, I think that that covers it.
Certainly worth checking out. Regular Show. Again, it's one of those you can tune in anytime. So even if you just have regular television, and, you know, you happen to see it fly by, give it a watch. It's a fun show to just tune in on. And as Christina mentioned, a lot of them, if not all of them, are on Hulu. So check it out there if you haven't, and we'd love to hear what you think. But Christina, I'm curious, what cartoons have you been watching this week?
Well, I've been watching home movies. Because when we mentioned it on our last show, when we were talking about Bob's Burgers, it got me, you know, I mentioned that Andy and Ollie are similar to Walter and Perry from that show. And so I started thinking a lot about home movies, which is one of my favorite shows. And it's funny. It originally started on UPN in 1999. And was canceled after 6 episodes, most of which never even aired, because this was during a weird era. Maybe it was the year 2000 that it debuted. I don't recall. But it was during this weird era where UPN, which used to be a network, was trying to do primetime cartoons. And it was kind of this eclectic show about this kid, Brendan, who has a movie camera and makes movies with his friends, Melissa and Jason. And they have a soccer coach and his mom, and H. Sean Benjamin, who's obviously the voice of Bob from Bob's Burgers, is in it. And Brendan Small, who voices the character Brendan, and then a character, Melissa Berengowski, who voices Melissa. And it's just a great show. It ended up being picked up and put back into production a couple of years after it was on UPN by Adult Swim. It was actually the very first original show that Adult Swim ever had. And it was just kind of – it ran for a number of seasons. It was a great show. It's from the same team that did Dr. Katz, which is also a great show. And what's great about it is that they have plots, but how the whole thing would work, if you ever watch the DVDs and the behind the scenes stuff, was that most of what their editing was, because they did the whole thing in Flash animation. First, they started with a technology called Squiggle Vision, and then they moved to Flash. But unlike most cartoons where you kind of really focus more on drawing stuff, they would really focus on the audio editing. And the show was really designed a lot more Curb Your Enthusiasm, where you had an idea. They would have an idea for a script and some certain plot points, but then the cast would basically just riff. and we'd basically just kind of improvise what was happening. Wow. And so they'd get a really tight audio edit, and then they'd animate to that. And the show was really inventive and kind of showed this great mind of like these 8-year-old kids who are making these movies and kind of the weird things happening in their life. And Brendan's life at home, you know, his mom is divorced and his dad's not really in the picture and she's got a baby and, you know, he's got his soccer coach who's kind of a dad character, but it's not a lot of other stuff. And so, you know, he's kind of going through crushes and other things, and Melissa's mom isn't around, and Jason's family is just, he's a little bit younger than them and he's kind of weird. And it's just, it's a great show. You can find some episodes on adultswim.com. They're available, I'm sure, on YouTube and places like that. But Home Movies is just one of those shows that to me, like, was just like way ahead of its time in a lot of ways. And the fact that once you realize that almost structurally, almost all of it is improvised,
mm-hmm.
it's just amazing.
Oh, for sure. That adds a whole nother level. And it's, I've seen a few episodes, but I haven't checked it out in a long time. So I'm going to have to head back to that. This week I've been watching Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Christina.
I haven't.
Oh, okay. So,
but you told me about it and I've meant to, it's on my list, but I don't have it yet.
Yeah, no. It's a really good show. Basically, it's about, this little kid who he develops an imaginary friend, and his mom is like, yo, we can't keep this imaginary friend in our house. So what happens is these imaginary friends who don't have parents or don't have, you know, their actual friends, they go to a foster home, and it's called Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Well, the main character, he wants to keep his imaginary friend named Blue, and the only way he can do that is if he visits Blue every day at the foster home. So he goes every day and he hangs out with Blue and with all of the other imaginary friends that are there, and it's just kind of the hijinks that they get involved with, and then you also get to know these different imaginary friends and kind of their lives, why they got left. There's a character named, I believe it's Duchess, and she's really mean, but then you come to learn her story and it's really sad. And so it's super interesting, and you see new imaginary friends show up all the time, and kind of like the powers that the different imaginary friends have, and why certain imaginary friends are a certain way. It's a good show. It's got a lot of like underlying feelings and emotions tied to it that you might not get so much as a tiny kid, but if you go back and watch it later, there's more to appreciate there. I guess it's got layers. So yeah, that's definitely one to check out. That's also a Cartoon Network show. So for sure, if you've not seen Foster's Home, then that's one to check out. So Christina, where can people find you online?
Well, on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, basically every place, but Peach, where I'm Christina, and a couple other social networks. You can find me at film_girl. I'm usually film_girl or Christina. So I'm Christina on Periscope, Vine, and Peach, and I'm film_girl everywhere else. And of course, you can find my work at Mashable.com. What about you?
You can find me on Twitter and most other places at Micah Sargent on Peach, now on Instagram, pretty much all the places I'm at Micah Sargent. I try to be. And you can find my work at Newsy.com. I just got back from CES, so please make it all worth it by going and watching some of the stuff that we did. I'm kind of freaked out by humanoid robots and also robots that look like animals and act like animals. So they forced me to interview a robot that was human-like, and it was a very unpleasant experience where it told me it wouldn't bite after I told it that I was afraid of it, which made me more afraid of it. So yeah, you can head to newsy.com.
As it should.
Yeah, it was freaky. So yeah, head to newsy.com to check all that out.
You can find the show notes at theincomparable.com/cartooncast/5. Be sure to give us a rating or review on iTunes. It really helps. You can also rate us, review us on Cast, where we are, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Downcast, Upcast, Your Cast, My Cast.
Left Cast, Right Cast, Blue Cast, Screen Cast.
But in fairness, we like Pocket Cast, we like Overcast, I like Downcast too. So you can find us on all those sites. But give us a rating if you wouldn't mind. It really does help us. And tell your friends about the show.
Yes, yes, yes. It'd be super helpful. And you can also follow our Tumblr at cartooncast.co, where you'll be able to see our Benson Squidward crossover, as well yes. as some fan fiction that we have in the works, hopefully. And find us on Twitter at cartoon_cast, where you can tell us what you think of all of the shows we recommend to you. And we have had quite a few people get to us on Twitter. We try to respond and talk to you all, and we really appreciate that. I love the interaction and being introduced to new shows. And actually, Home Movies was mentioned recently on at our Cartoon Cast handle. So we're happy to have that show up in the show. That's all, folks.